Hello and welcome to the ILC podcast series, looking at how we've been helping and supporting each other through the pandemic and how we may be able to continue to do this as we move out of the pandemic and hopefully towards a more settled period of time. They've been and will be challenging times, strange times for all people who work in the claims world. In this series, all we want to do is share some stories with people, how successful they've been, the challenges they've got, so as we know, we've not been in this alone. But hopefully we can realise through sharing things with each other that there are good times ahead and that we have the ability to continue to thrive with all of our people in the claims world. So, as always, I'd like to thank our corporate partners without whom these wouldn't be possible. That's CoreLogic, SiteCall, Synergy, iCab, SafeLine, Carpenters and the Innovation Group. My name's Alan Sutter. I'm the chair of Home and Commercial, I Love Claims. And if you have any stories that you'd like to share or any thoughts on this whole subject, please just drop me a note to alan@iloveclaims.com and we'll try and share with it or talk to you over that period of time. So let's get on with today's podcast. In this wellbeing podcast, I'd like to welcome our three guests, the two stable guests, Kate McKenzie from Courtesy Kitchens and Bathroom, and I'm tempted to describe him as Google, but I might get into trouble for that. Rob Chilcott from Claims Consortium Group, who's also a coach with Live Big and works a lot with Stuart Baldwin, an old friend of ILC. And both Stuart and Rob have presented at our conferences, of course, before. And also Steve Kennedy from SafeLine Environmental. And part of the idea of having the three different looks at it today, if I go through them, we know that Rob has a job, which is obviously to help train, educate people and prepare people to cope with lots of things. And I'm sure that's been a fantastically interesting challenge for the last 12 years. We've got Kate, who is a sort of young up and growing company. But in all of that, she's actually had to educate her daughter through the last year as well. And all of these challenges where you've got a small company, which is basically about her and her partner controlling things and making sure that they are serviced throughout the country is there. Of course, then we've got Steve, who is a larger operation, a specialist in asbestos removal. But throughout this period of time, not only looking after his staff, but making sure that they're all right, people are worried, they're ill, etc. Trying to deal with all the things we do. And of course, beside all of that, and all the various views, situations and challenges, who looks after the people looking after the people? And that's a never-ending equation. So we're going to take a look at this today. It might get a bit light from time to time because Steve's biggest concession to all of this is he's not allowed to play golf. There are people who dispute how well he plays it anyway. But let's start with Kate, first of all. Kate, what's been happening in the last year? We had this about 10 months ago, 11 months ago, with you, Rob, and somebody else. We did have a session in this before. So what's been happening since last April? How's your year gone and what have you learned and what are the challenges you still have?
Gosh, I think I'm still recovering from March and April last year. I can't work out if we're a year on from there or we're still in that same very period. I think we can all only describe the world as challenging, really. It's definitely taught me to be far more resilient, adjustable, and adaptable, because you just don't know what's coming up ahead. You can look at trend patterns and whatnot for previous business running, and it's completely different in 2020 and going into 21. So you just have to kind of be very aware all the time. I know last time we were speaking very much about mental health well-being and how we adapt to the change. And I think across the board from what I'm seeing is we've all done incredibly well to adapt to this change. Personally, I've had to be very, very strict with myself. There have been ups and downs, business-wise and personally, and I think we'll probably all relate to that. I'm having to be very, very structured, because as soon as I fall out of timetables and routines, I'm finding that it's a very, very quick spiral into what on earth is going on and where am I, what day of the week it is. I think a few months in, very quickly realised that the routine was the be-all and end-all for me, for managing just general day-to-day life. And like you say, I've got my daughter at home the majority of it. We did have that lovely little break between September and December where they went back. And then here we are again. So that seems, managing her expectations, managing my expectations, my clients, my customers, my family, just challenging. But I think, like I say, the be all and end all for me is just getting that routine. You don't realize how much your normal day-to-day life requires that routine, the getting in the car, going on the school run, the drive to go into your office, your lunch breaks, knowing what you're going to do in the evenings and having that weekend free. I can't remember the last time I had a weekend as such, because every day is the same day. So those same days look exactly the same at the moment, but that's keeping me sane. It's keeping us functioning, so we're good.
Just as a quick, I mean, we know you're good at business and stuff like that, but if I had a quick chat with your daughter, what would the ratings 1 to 5 for you to be as a teacher?
That's harsh, Ellen. Go on.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a sub-zero something. To be honest, she's a bright little girl, and I'm very, very lucky, really, and she's quite self-sufficient. I think she's probably taught me more than I've taught her over the last year. But no, her school have been very good as well. So she sits there and cracks on. And if she's got a little question, then she just comes to me. It's got easier. I think in the first part, it was because the schools weren't ready for it. We had a lot of pressure as parents, whereas obviously now they're a little bit more prepared. So it has eased the pressure, but you've still got that. I never switch off from mum mode now. So before, where it was drop her off at school, drive to the office, I had that time to transition, whereas now it's constant work and mum mode. And so you just, it's a very blurred area now.
Mums are always special anyway, I'm sure, that's for sure. Steve, what about you? leaving aside, you've not been able to continue your average goalies. How's it been? How have you been able to work with all your operatives all over the country, sending them different places, coping with the nervousness of the people they have to go into houses with, and also how are you coping with yourself?
Well, I said before, Alan, it's you know, we've built up a great backbone at Safeline over the years, and without the staff and their attitude through the past 12 months, we felt a lot of pressure at the start to keep going from some clients a bit. Last March, April, when it was all a bit quite weird. I mean, with this lockdown has been, I think, more harsher for a lot of people. I felt like the first couple of weeks in January was, this is bad, And staff-wise, I think, general chats with them at the start. And again, everybody didn't know what was really happening. It was just like that sink or swim attitude. Let's keep going. The people that wanted to keep their jobs basically said, look, guys, we have a chance of keeping going, down to the fact of what we do, asbestos removal. We kept going for our clients. There was emergency asbestos works needed done. The guys realised that. I just can't thank them highly enough for their attitude through it. Albeit, we've had a bit of luck as respect of we didn't really get involved too much with COVID as a company. It didn't come to our door as such. But of course, we had a good deal, a lot of front doors of vulnerable people, other people that wanted us to go into their houses, how the guys felt about that. They were nervous. You get bloody sued at the end of the day. There's a lot of these companies setting up. If you didn't put the right PPI on, or PPE on, Freudian slip. There was all sorts of awkward and strange situations over the past year, but we are coming out. I did say this, I think last May or June, but I think we are getting there. But myself personally, I just had that keep going attitude, Alan. Like I say, the only thing the government were going to tell you, were going to give you, was a wee bit of financial help with furlough, etc. They weren't going to tell you how to run your business or keep it going. Hence that sink or swim attitude, and hence that we just have to knuckle down and try and keep going here. Morally, there were I had to think about things as well for myself, from my family, and being out, coming to the office every day, opening up, get the guys out. We had to put things in place. So social distancing, was monitored and everything. It's hard. And it still is hard today. We're a bit more relaxed on this lockdown as respective people do want you in the property, which helps. The last time was quite bitty. But so the attitude out there is changing, but you still have to do the right thing. Furloughed some of the guys, regular chats with the guys, arm around the shoulder sort of thing, without putting your arm around the shoulder, of course. And just keeping them motivated as much as possible, because at the end of the day, they needed a job, at the end of this. And there ain't, with a lot of people losing their jobs and in all sorts of sectors and industries, they realise that, we can keep going through this, rightly or wrongly. It's only a good thing. And a lot of sleepless nights, let's say, with guys not turning in and, coming towards... some of the guys took an attitude right at the start, right, I'm not working, that's it, I don't like this. And we had to back them. We had to put an arm around the shoulder and say, right, understand. These were good guys for us. Kate said, it's been challenging in all sorts of respects. Me sending guys out all around the country, just like Brad from SOS, it's been very challenging. But at no point did the government say, don't go to work, stop working. Mm-hmm. We were in a sector where we had to carry on. Our mm-hmm. clients expected us and needed us to carry on in certain works. And
we've had you in a few various podcasts we've done, Stephen. I have to say that certainly the attitude you talk about, keep going, is one that's come across very, very strongly in tough circumstances. Rob, over to you. You've kind of got to look at this in a much wider aspect. And part of that must be, we've just listened to two people running businesses and the jobs they have to do to keep everybody going. How much work have you done in keeping the cheerleaders going, for want of a better expression? The people, the managers, the people that have to keep people motivated, they've had to be motivated. Have you spent a lot of time in that?
Oh, 100%, because people need to realise that a business is made up of people. So no matter how high a business you go, it's being headed by a CEO or a chairman or a president or a director who is a human being going through the same thing. So the same things that everybody in a company is feeling, the directors, the head of the company are feeling the same thing. And it's hard sometimes to put that to one side, to be the version of themselves they need to be at work for their people. It's a tough ask. It's a really hard ask. So whilst it's hard, this has been unique, challenging, different, fascinating in many ways. It's forced creativity. It's forced a new way of thinking about things. And whilst everybody is feeling it and going through it, my heart went out to leaders who at times are dealing with their own issues and then the issues of other people, quite rightly, because that's their role. But the support they needed to help their people through it was, if not more than the people, just the same. It's been a very... I found myself saying two things to leaders quite a lot this year. And the two phrases I've used the most are, first of all, relax. Because if you're not feeling energetic, if you're not feeling particularly upbeat, the hardest thing to do sometimes is try and force that. So sometimes relax and say, it's okay. It's okay to feel down for a day or so. It's okay. It will pass. It's a feeling. How you're feeling is absolutely fine, but just relax with it and don't force it. And the second thing is, I haven't used the word positive that much in the last year, because it's hard to force it. And there's a skill of being positive. And I've run sessions on the skill of being optimistic a lot this year, because it's the one that people have cried out for the most, the mindset. But instead of positive, I've used the word helpful quite a lot. So is it helpful? What's a helpful story to tell yourself? So I was coaching a friend of mine at the weekend, and they said, I can't cope with this lockdown. And after a conversation, you think, actually, there's no truth in that statement. Of course, you can cope with the lockdown. But if you're telling yourself that, it won't help you. So a more helpful version of it will be, of course, I can cope. It's not what I was chosen, but I will get through it and I'll move on. So relax, and what's the most helpful way of thinking have been the two phrases I've used the most, especially with leaders, because leaders have been under a huge amount of pressure in the last 12 months.
I think that's really interesting and a good point. So, Kate, you've talked a lot about this thing. You've got back into routine. So what, give us the helpful things as we look forward over the next year as to how we're going to cope with what at the moment looks a far cheerier future Well, if it's challenges as well, surely there must be a lot we can gain from what we've been through in the last year.
Yeah, do you know what? I really liked that whole not being positive thing. Well, not being not positive, but I agree, because I in the past I've suffered quite badly with my mental health many, many years ago, and it took me a long time to sort of change the mindset and everything. And I think that's a very poignant point. I don't even know if that makes sense. You know what,
yeah,
I mean?
You're okay.
And this goes back to what we were discussing earlier, that there is no normal now. Everyone's apparent normal isn't the same as everyone else's, and we've all got different scenarios and views and feelings and all these different decisions to deal with. So I like that, is that we can get through it, and it's the case of finding ways of getting yourself through it. So I suppose for me, going back to the, I did realise that I needed a strict routine and tire table. And also the increase of creativity has forced us to be more creative. So we've kind of applied that really in so many different aspects. We've been much more resourceful at home on how we can interact as a family. And I've actually, one of the positive things I think has come out of this lockdown, at the very beginning, I was like, for goodness sakes, like, how much screen time are we all getting now? Because that was the only way we could interact with people. But that realization actually forced us as a family to sit down and go, do you know what, how can we interact with each other? And we're a lot closer knit now as a family, because we specifically set out times to, there's no screen time, we're going to play a game, we're going to create something. Chris and Grace have built all sorts over the last year, full of random little projects. And I think that's something that we all need, is something aside from work and aside from just the normal, like when we are normal again, from the hustle and bustle of daily world, you need to connect with people. And I think that for me has been the biggest thing, is finding different ways and truly connecting rather than just connecting through a screen. But I think generally going forward, like you say, we have got a little bit of hope now. And I must admit, personally, that lifted me so much. I was the same as Steve at the first couple of weeks of January. I thought, oh my God, where are we? What are we doing? There was just felt like there was no light at the end of the tunnel. We just kept on persevering through this Groundhog Day situation that we're in, because it won't be like this forever. And I think for me, in terms of my positive quote as such, that is it. It won't be like this forever. It might be a bit longer than I'd have hoped for and expected, but there will be light at the end of the tunnel. And I think we've got there now. We've got a little glimmer of hope. So hopefully everyone's feeling a little bit more upbeat now. I think we just all need to continue going, you know, supporting each other, making sure that we do get there together and doing what we can to protect everyone. But make sure that we're doing those little things that, you know, getting your exercise, making sure you're doing some personal development as a business. I think we've all got that hope now that we can get there. I know that it's certainly been a lot easier to work now, and we've got more customers that are more happy for us to be in their homes and whatnot, because we feel a little bit safer. But yeah, just keep going, we'll get there.
First of all, one of the reasons we have Kate on there is you had a lot of good honesty there about situations, how it comes around. And I think that's what really, when we talk about what's helpful to people, I think Kate's journey is very helpful to us. Steve, over to you. Kate, correctly, they talked about connecting with people. And you are, you know, in the nicest possible way, a social animal, right? So you know, you love your job.
Yeah.
You like the local hostelry. Yeah.
Yes.
You're able to play
one or two.
You haven't been able to go to the pub. Your football team's playing as badly as mine. Yeah.
All right, Alan, enough.
Seriously, what are you looking forward to now that, you know, is giving you that helpful way of focusing?
I love life. I can't get enough of life. You know, I'm just one of them guys and get out there and meet people, and it's bloody brilliant. You know, we're here for a good time, not a long time. I keep telling people, they often understand that. The past 16 months is testing. But Kate said something earlier on. I brought skills out in myself that I didn't. Maybe I knew was there, but you know what I mean. That was a great point, Kate, mate. You know, everybody's adapted. I adapted of all people because everybody said, "Steve, how are you going to cope?" And I'm not a big, I've got a nice house, blah, 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 blah. I've got a wife, a lovely daughter, but I've got my sort of routine during the week where I don't sit my ass that much and I'm in and out here and there. And but I guess, you just had to adapt and it was what it was. You had to get on with it. And like Kate said, look forward to the future. And that start of January was just, it was a dark place. And knowing that, you couldn't get out and about or anything. That was hard, but I'm not going to say it, Rob. I was going to say positive. I kept positive. Knowing that this thing had, we'll get there. And, I knowing that, we got our big golf day, Alan, all booked up and ready to go in July, which is a bit of a bonus, hopefully. And things like that. Just looking forward to stuff, catching up with the guys and, in the industry, outside the industry or whatever. But I must give myself a big pat on the back because, some people, but to be fair, the ones who have worked from home, Kate, I was lucky enough to get out every day and have that, I'd get up and go to work. I was lucky enough to be able to do that Monday to Friday or whatever. Even if it was just coming to the office for 3-4 hours, it made such a difference because I could not work from home. So I was forced enough to keep going.
I'd just like to point out that we will take a stop, but I think your wife was probably even more grateful that you were out for.
Well, I've done so much around the house, bits and pieces, like everybody, jobs and stuff. You know, she's probably going to think soon I actually care. But I mean, you know what I mean? So, it's all going to come to a stop, Alan, on the 29th of March when Harborne Golf Club reopens. And
that'll be good. That'll be good for a lot of us. Okay, Rob, how do you do it then? We've talked about, how people look forward, etc. But while you're trying to keep all the staff and all the management and all the clients, all the people that come to give advice going, you've still got to get up in the morning. Even, I know you like your rugby, but even after, the Calcutta Cup devastated you, you still have to get up in the morning. Sorry about that. You have to get up in the morning and you have to be ready. And I'm going to change because when I speak to you, practically cheerful. This isn't just like, oh, I'm up and I'm happy and goody two-shoes and isn't the day world. This is like, I'm very practically being positive and helping people and controlling what people can put in their own heads. How do you keep yourself that well disciplined?
There's all things, those you can do, those you can't teach, which I don't really buy into sometimes, because the more I've understood it from the mental side, from the stories, the psychological side, the more it's helped me as an individual. So I'm probably a different person now to what I was 6-7 years ago before I started looking into this kind of work a bit more deeply. So it's great to be able to use it for myself, and then it helps me to coach other people with it as well. It's a fascinating time because although this is likely, touch wood, to end this year, and we'll move out of back into whatever, you weren't born knowing what normal was, you've learned normal, so we're having to relearn a new normal, whatever those phrases mean. But there'll be a legacy of this for a long time. There's almost an industrial revolution type aspect of this, which will be the way we work will be different, the way we shop will be different, the way we trade will be different. And that's just so inspiring to see how people, it's incredibly sad to lose businesses, it's sad to lose industries, but it's incredibly inspirational to see the ones that have started in the last 8 to 12 months. So the challenge it's posing is just such an exciting one, and helping people is what gets me out of bed in the morning, helping people to be happy, live fuller, better, more enjoyable lives, which sounds a bit woolly. You can't put it on a business card, but that's what gets me out of bed in the morning. And seeing people seeing businesses grow and develop and helping themselves through what is, say, forced creativity is hard, because the more you try to force anything, your brain starts shutting down. So you're in the sort of alpha, you're not in the alpha brain state, you're in the beta brain state where you can't quite think properly. So the more pressure you put on yourself, the harder it is to do. So having to keep people relaxed through this time and keep people as open as they can and see things. And I get asked a lot, does working from home really work for us as a business or other industries? We just don't know. Kate alluded to it earlier on. You know, routines have gone. Evenings and weekends aren't evenings and weekends anymore. So until that comes back, you can't really judge how well these things work. So there'll be a legacy that leads off the back of this for years to come in terms of how people get over furloughs and redundancies and how we work. And that challenge is one that will be going, it'll keep me going for a long time.
Rob, sorry, Alan, can I just ask Rob a quick question?
Yeah.
I spoke to somebody today, funnily enough, and they were on a webinar and blah, blah, blah. But they said there's a lot of anxiety. People will have anxiety actually coming out of lockdown. You know, 100%. there is people have been working, you know, come back into the working environment, come back into having to go to London to work and think, you know, there's that to consider as well for a lot of people. You know, they've got actually used to working from home and that's what they do. And they've changed their lifestyle. They've changed everything. Next minute, right, back to London or back to where, Manchester, whatever, to commute. Yeah. And there surely has to be anxiety about that for some people, I guess.
And the thing with routine is we either find a routine or routine finds us. So when you go on holiday, if you go abroad on holiday, within a couple of days, you're eating at the same time, at the same table, you're sunbathing in the same place. We need routine as human beings. And if you don't pick one proactively, you'll fall into one. And what people have done last year in March, we were forced into a new routine. And now it's transitioning back slowly. People are having to find it. And there was anxiety in March when we got forced into the new one. There is bound to be anxiety again because people are used to what they're doing right now. And I spoke to people in December who, when we were looking to come out of lockdown in November sort of time, people say, I don't really want to. I quite enjoy the company. I quite enjoy the family time and being on my own and doing what I do. And fine. So just find a new routine. Steve, I know it wouldn't be you. I know you're looking forward to getting out on that tea again. But for some people, and this is where businesses will help to understand their people, because people will be feeling it. Some people can't wait to get out there again. You know, England playing the Euros the day after the lockdown
ends.
I mean, it will be a lot of people can't wait to go out to the pub and watch the football and have a drink. Absolutely fine. But
I'd just like to point out, Rob, although it's an unusual item, England aren't the only people playing in the Euros. I know Scotland are playing in them as well, except as you get back for the Calcutta Cup, fine.
All I was missing was a fishing rod, Alan. All I was missing was a fishing rod.
Right, we will be coming back, Rob's here, but Rob will be coming to help us perhaps next month or the month after with a few more helpful sessions and stuff that will help us. Kate, just from yours then, let's go back to business then. Throughout of all of this, you've talked about focus on business. So is there, like, I don't know, an invention or a different way of doing something or a green light in certain area that's come out for you and your business? Have you been able to refocus and do something different?
Amongst all the chaos, we've certainly fine-tuned processes. We've had sort of inspiring ideas in terms of improving our customer service and how we deal with clients, identifying issues. So that all came flooding to us very, very quickly, obviously, identifying that there's this, the pandemic presents a whole new ball game of different issues when you're dealing with people, as we know that everyone deals with it very differently. But it's also allowed us to, because let's go back to what I was saying, where we don't have weekends anymore and every day seems to be a work day. I sort of split my day half work and half try to be me, but no. Every day is a work day now, but it means that we've been able to, other than delivering obviously the normal business standards side of things that we would do, and we were very, very busy throughout the summer. Chris got bored, essentially, because you can't see anyone. And rather than him drive me up the wall, very much like Steve, he needs to be out and about, and he is a people person, whereas I'm probably the opposite and quite reclusive. And so sitting at home wasn't too bad, although now I very much want people in my life. He had to keep himself busy, because otherwise I think I would have murdered him, in all honesty. So he was at the workshop working away. We've managed to bring on two new projects. There's massive positives out of that, I guess, really, for us. One very innovative, I can't say the word, bathroom that is sort of self-driven with its motor, It's remote controlled. It just allows him a lot more versatility and accuracy in delivering our kitchens and bathrooms. I'm in awe of it, really, when every time he uses it, although I'm not allowed to try it out. But that side of it, we've developed another project where we've got a kitchen and bathroom combined. So that allows us to serve even more people. So all of these things have actually, whilst as a whole, the pandemic has been quite hard personally and across the industry, it's just been quite difficult for everyone to manage. There are positives to it. And I think for all of us, we need to really look at the silver linings and what we can get out of it and how what we have achieved. It's not necessarily all about those like the big numbers or the projects coming out or anything. But I think for as people, we need to give ourselves a pat on the back because we have got this far. And going back to what Rob was saying, we can get through it. We will get through it. Those two things for me, I'm really, really proud that we've managed to achieve that during this time whilst dealing with the roller coaster of the pandemic. And just getting through it. We're nearly there.
It's interesting.
I can feel your pain, Kate. I can feel your pain.
But to some extent, of course, that's good because what that's meant is you've had time to be innovative. And we've had quite a lot of that if you look at how the industry's focus had to be innovative because you weren't allowed in people's houses. So it's changed a lot of the things from the way we work to the way people will be prepared to see us and protect us. Steve, what have you done that's... I'm putting them on the spot here. You done anything in it? Has this been able to let you look at the business in a different way and fine tune it or come up with something
that
perhaps you had the time to do so hadn't it been for this?
100%. Alan, it made us look. We had a lot of work last summer postponed, public and private sector work, school work basically, obviously. Nobody was in any positions to make decisions on, purses and, budgets and whatever. So the time I've spent over the past, year, it's just looking for new business, keeping close contact with our existing business, making sure that, we're servicing very well. But we have gained some new contracts this year. And again, that's kept me going as well, knowing that fortunate enough that these are going to happen. And that's kept us going as a business, We were okay coming into this. We could afford to take a hit, not too much, but fortunate enough we kept going. Like I said, it was attitude, rightly or wrongly, but the right attitude. And Chris, Matt, myself sat down and said, right, we sink or swim here. I'll do this. I will do this. We'll keep going. And we'll try and do the right thing by the company and keep safe flying out there. So for me personally, it was getting new, concentrated on a lot of phone calls. And that little period between July and October where we could get out as such, I've done a bit of networking on the golf course, funny enough, and we've still done some bits and pieces. Got out and about as much as I could in that period before the dark times came again there. But just keep going, basically. Like I said, the harsh reality of this thing, guys, is, it just shows you how vulnerable we are as a human race. You know what I mean? We have to live for the day, enjoy it. We're here for, a good time, not a long time. And that harsh reality, people lost their lives, people lost businesses, people, it's been in hell for people, and some people got away with it. Next time something happens, we just happen to be in an industry that, the insurance home claims industry, which, was always going to keep going as such. So
it was. It's been through quite a reinvention, and as people who listen to these things regularly will have heard me say, that there was a battle ahead have kept the momentum going.
Can I just before I finish? Sorry, I'm rubbing it on. I'd just like to take my hat off to Kate and all the guys out there, the girls and the men who actually work from home and homeschooled at the same time. My hat is off. I seen what my wife was going through with my daughter Summer, and I already called it a couple of times. And why is everybody crying? Oh, she won't do this. She won't do that. It was tantrums and tears everywhere. So I quickly grabbed a quick coffee, went outside to the garden, went on my phone, and quickly left before I got involved in anything. But seriously, honestly, for me, congratulate, well done, because I don't know how the hell you kept a business going and homeschooled over the past couple of months, because that is some feat.
I think the significant
challenge. I got away with that. So
significant challenge is there for everyone doing that. The sad thing was that the crying apparently stopped when you went out to the garden, Steve. I think the challenge is huge. And what we've got to remember, this isn't just about people running the business. People in their normal daily lives are having to do this while coping with everything else. So that is significant. So let me go back to the final one in today's to Rob. First of all, I did notice when you said there's a change in shopping habits, I did actually seriously have to put the mute button on because my doorbell went, and that meant that the change in shopping habit, which you hear in lots of team calls and Zoom calls, was still there with somebody doing delivery. I'm looking forward to going down and finding out what I haven't bought. But there you go. So back to
Spurs glory days, 1980.
Back with the guys at Claims Consortium Group, et cetera. Well, how do you feel your efforts to make sure that you can do as much as you can? How are they being received? And are you learning new challenges from that every day?
Yeah, I mean, looking after an industry of people who are working from home is a different leadership style, different methodologies, different routines and practices. Right from the start, Jeremy and the guys on the board were amazing at communicating and connecting with our people, probably more so than we have. I know more about the business in the last 12 months than I probably did before. A monthly webinar giving us an idea on, you know, projected what's coming up, the projects that we're working on, cash positions, understanding why, if we furloughed, why did we furlough, and just giving staff the real understanding behind some of the reasons why. You know, you make decisions in the moment with the best information you've got, essentially it's the best guess. You know, hindsight is always 20/20. You always look back and go, I would have done it differently. And there's not a person on the planet who wouldn't have changed something in their lives looking backwards. But at the time, you're making your best decisions. And I think if people can understand the rationale and the process that they've gone through to say, this is the reason why we're doing something, the easier it is to accept it. So from our point of view, our mantra has been to communicate more, because especially when you're in the office, you have these little soft conversations all the time. You see somebody walk in, you make a cup of coffee with them, you're having conversations that you probably don't realize, but they're all well-being, welfare conversations. And when you're at home, you don't get to have them. You either pick up the phone, you have to force the conversation to happen, which doesn't happen normally. So trying to make those things happen as much as we can and keep connected with people. Yeah, I think it's been very well received. From what I'm hearing, it's been very well received. And we're doing a ton of research on understanding what we've done that's worked that we'll carry on doing, what we've tried. When you innovate, stuff doesn't always work. It's the joy of innovating. So when you try things that don't work, you need to understand the reason why. So yeah, it's been fun, it's been interesting, and we'll carry on going.
Well, I mean, the whole thing's terrific. So, you know, first of all, thanks to all three of you. Thanks, Steve, for joining us. There will be, when we come back in a few weeks, other people joining, Rob, Kate and myself, for it, because we'd like to get as wide a view as possible. And, you know, there's good stories, there's sharing, there's helping people through all the change. But, you know, we are in an industry which people keep telling me is very close. So let's keep our thoughts going. We're not here to tell people what to do. We're not here to give medical advice. We're just here to share stories so those people can feel they're not in this alone. And when they recover, we'll all feel good, including Steve's golf, which is excellent. Not saying it's awful.
It'll be hopeless, trust me.
And certainly in a few weeks' time, we're planning for a big session with Rob and Stuart. And if anybody's interested in using any of that motivation, you know, if you give me a shout, I'll certainly put you in contact with Rob. And anything else that people have got to offer, just drop me a line if you get any comments on this. I think you've got a contribution to make at alan@iloveclaims.com. Thanks for listening to this ILC podcast. My name is Alan Suter. I'm the chair of Home Commercial ILC. Thanks again to our fantastic corporate partners, CoreLogic, SiteCall, Synergy, iCab, SafeLine, Carpenters, and the Innovation Group. If you have any things that you'd like to raise from today's podcast or anything else, please just drop me a note at alan@iloveclaims.com. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.